1017 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Hey, listen, it's a new hour in Milwaukee. It is hump day, the middle of the week, and I don't want to talk about anything depressing anymore. I'm sure there's many things to talk about every day when it comes to that. We are going to switch gears. It's a new hour. I want to begin with an assumption that I think we rarely challenge, right? We meet somebody and immediately begin categorizing them, right? And it's crazy because I just told my oldest daughter this, that you have to stop automatically calling people your friend until they prove themselves worthy of being your friend. But we always categorize them, right? Hey, this is my friend. This is my coworker, associate, family, potential partner, or just somebody I'm not interested in. Either way, we provide them with the label, right? And we create these mental categories because human beings need structure. So categories simplify social life, but here's the problem. People are not categories. They are dynamic. And relationships between people are dynamic too. Yet when it comes to male-female friendships, we act like whatever category somebody entered your life in has to remain that category permanently. And if somebody you met as a friend, then apparently friendship is supposed to be a life sentence. So if I meet somebody and I'm like, hey, I'm going to friend zone you and I'm going to list you as my friend. Apparently, they're just supposed to be my friend forever, right? And if attraction ever develops later, somebody says, see, we knew y'all weren't really friends. Why? Why does that exist? Now, we get to retroactively redefine what existed then, right? That's intellectually lazy to me. If I loved somebody platonically for 5 years and develop romantic feelings in year six, that does not automatically mean years 1 through 5 were fraudulent. It means that in year six, I was introduced to new information, experiences, maturity, emotional awareness, all of the above. And this is where grown relationships become interesting because attraction isn't simple, right? It's not, oh, you fine. Physical beauty matters, obviously. But adult attraction can become an issue, right? It can become an issue if you are not real with yourself. Sometimes you are attracted to somebody because you have watched them become the person that you knew they would become, right? You watch how they handled pressure. You watch how they handled disappointment. You watch how they treated people when there was nothing to gain. You watch their mistakes. You watch their growth. You watch how they parent, how they build, what happens when they lose something, whether or not they operate in ego or humility, right? You've seen different versions of them throughout the years. And one day you realize, hold on a minute. The qualities I have been appreciating in this person as a friend are the same qualities I keep saying I want in a partner. Yeah, it's time to have a conversation. That's different from secretly lusting after somebody for 5 years, right? That's recognition. Something else that's interesting about friendships turning romantic is dating is often built around presentation. So when somebody is interested in you romantically, you meet the representative first. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You go on a date and they put on their best behavior, right? Do everything possible to try and win you over, primarily because you don't know them. Y'all don't know anything about each other, so it's easy to have this representative. And they can be whoever it is that they want to be in their mind, right? Everybody is not going to show up on date number one saying, hi, I'm terrible at conflict. I disappear emotionally when I'm overwhelmed and I have unresolved attachment issues and my credit score needs prayer. I don't know. I'm a Taurus. I think Taurus is maybe that type of person. Not me. I'm just saying. But no one is coming on the first date being completely transparent as knowing they're a hot mess. Nobody's going to do that, right? You get the polished version. But what happens when it's a friend? The friendship often removes the audition. Your friend isn't trying to get the job. So you've already seen things that the romantic partner don't always see until months later, right? This is why it's so easy for people who are familiar with each other to have a serious relationship. And I am guilty of it. Not necessarily the friendship part, but I'm guilty of being more comfortable with someone I am familiar with, right? I rarely ever want to talk to anybody that I'm not familiar with. If I can't do, I don't want to do a background check. I don't have time. I'm telling you, I used to be the lead detective in my marriage. Ask my friends, they'd say, I was so cold. They'd be like, how you do that? Girl, that's too stressful. I don't have time trying to figure things out. Most definitely not with someone that I don't know, especially in the city of Milwaukee, because everybody and their mama know everybody. And most importantly, I always say, be careful when you ask people about somebody, because you're going to get a different response depending on who you ask. My loyalty towards this person is not the same as this person. So depending on who you ask, you're going to get two separate answers. You're going to get two separate answers, right? I don't like representatives. I don't like the polished version of somebody. I don't like any of that, right? I want to see the flaws. I want to know the flaws. I want to know where you lack. We all lack, because then I would know where to pick it up at, right? And obviously, dating would be so much easier if people would take a, remove the representative, remove the mask. So you've already seen things in your romantic partner you've already seen things that the romantic partner doesn't always see until months later, right? You've seen this person disappointed when they're frustrated, when they're that they're dependable, all of the above. So when attraction develops after friendship, perhaps one component of that attraction is something dating culture rarely gives up front. That's evidence. It gives you evidence. And maybe that explains why sometimes somebody who never made your heart race initially becomes increasingly attractive after years of knowing their character. I always talk about character. Always. See, there's a lot of good looking men out here, right? There's a lot of men with money. There's a lot of men who are successful. And obviously, I've worked around many of them, right? Still do. However, that doesn't matter. What does your character look like? Can you go to sleep at night? Can you look yourself in the mirror after that day ends? What is your morals? What are your principles? And when you build friendships, these are the things that you see out the gate, right? You're not going to, even if you have a new friend, you're not going to see it automatically, just like you won't see it with someone that you're dating. But as time progresses, you begin to learn these things about them, right? Because adult attraction isn't always instant recognition. Sometimes it's accumulated recognition. And I think that we underestimate that. That's one of the biggest problems. I believe the whole we should be friends first. Absolutely. And I understand it a little better at this age. Madi says, thank God you don't eat pork. Madi. No, I don't eat pork, Madi. But every now and again, I might ask for some bacon. I don't know, man. That's a little difficult. But in all seriousness, I wholeheartedly understand two things at this age. I understand that it is important to be friends with someone first, because you get to know them. And then you get to ultimately decide, based off of what you have learned, if this is someone that you would like to move forward with. And that's fair, right? That's way easier than, you know, risking it all for somebody that you don't know, somebody that you just met. But I also understand, too, in the same breath, that, hey, sometimes stuff just happens. So, ladies, don't beat me up when I say this. But, fellas, when y'all be like, I don't know, it just happened. I get it. I promise I get it. I understand it wholeheartedly. Sometimes things just happen, right? And you don't have an explanation, right? Are you wrong in that sense? Maybe. Maybe, especially if temptation is involved, so on and so on. But at the end of the day, sometimes things do happen. And that doesn't make you wrong, right? That, especially if you've covered the bases. If you don't owe anybody an explanation, if you don't owe anybody your loyalty, whatever the case may be, which that's how my mind operates. If I don't owe you anything, I promise you, I'm not giving you an explanation about nothing. Jazz gonna do what Jazz wanna do, because Jazz deserves to be happy, right? But it's a fine line when it comes to the friendships, ultimately. And we'll dig a little bit deeper later on. But the fine line is because everybody around you, including exes and everybody else, is going to be like, hey, let me go back and start calculating some things. I need to figure out when this started. Now I need to think about when you said his name or when you said her name and the conversations and, you know, it went from, hey, sis, to, yeah, now y'all dating. You know, the math ain't math. And so evidently y'all had to be messing around this entire time. And that is simply not true. That is not always the case. Sometimes things just happen. And you know what? I am okay with that. At this big grown age, I am okay with that as long as it does not go against what I stand for, right? As long as it does not go against what I stand for. I'm okay with things just happening the way that they happen. And sometimes that's okay too. And you know why? Primarily because you may miss out on something that's for you if you are constantly stuck in the mind frame of being afraid of what was. There's a big possibility that you can miss out on whatever it is God has for you because you feel obligated to stay back or stay in the past, right? I said it yesterday. It's 5:11 August 26th. 5:10 p.m. August 26th no longer exists. It does not exist anymore. It's just a memory. And that's going to fade eventually as well, right? It doesn't exist. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to take a call. And I also want to deal with the psychological question because there are two competing theories here. One theory says if you are attracted now, something was probably buried subconsciously all along. The other says no attraction can genuinely be created by new circumstances, new emotional intimacy, and personal growth. But there is a third possibility that is much more dangerous. Sometimes emotional vulnerability can imitate romantic compatibility. So how do you tell the difference? Let's tap into it after this break. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We have a caller on the line. Kenda, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for tapping in. Hey, friend.
Hey, boo.
How do you feel about the conversation we are having today, girl? Spill the tea.
Well, I'll say this. I would want my lover to be my best friend.
Woo, come on.
You know, so, I mean, I think it's worth trying it out. I mean, if this person has been in your life for 5 years, you must think highly of them. You know, they think highly of you, and if you guys are coming to each other with these feelings now that have surfaced that have never been, I think that's a great thing. I think it's a great thing for relationships to eventually evolve, and if y'all on the same page, then how could it hurt?
What do you think the negative is pertaining to situations like this? Because we know it can go either way. What is your stance on the wrong way?
I would say the only potential thing that could be bad is, you know, if the person isn't being 100% honest with what they want in that connection and y'all lose y'all friendship, that is where something can go. If they're not really ready for what they're asking for,
then don't ask.
And don't ask. You got to be ready. If you gonna tell me you got feelings for me and you see me differently in a way that we could be romantically involved, then you got to mean what you say and you got to put that action in action, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, because you don't want to lose that friendship, you know, because you weren't ready for something. Like, just if you're going to take the risk and be intentional.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Kenda. I received that.
You're welcome.
I hope that Truth Nation receives that as well. That was a great point of view. So if two people have known each other for, let's say, you know, 5 years, 6 years, whatever the case may be, and an attraction suddenly appears, I think we make a mistake when we insist only on one explanation. So human beings love retrospective storytelling. Once we know the ending of something, we go backward and reinterpret it, everything as evidence. So two friends eventually get together and everybody goes, I always knew something was going on between them. And you are wrong. Sometimes you didn't know. You simply know now. And you are editing the past using information from the present. So psychologically, there are several possibilities. One possibility is subconscious attraction. I am obsessed with understanding my subconscious mind because 9 times out of 10, when we are acting out of emotion, it's due to the subconscious and not just the conscious or both of them meeting together, right? Maybe somebody had feelings that never entered consciously, right? Because the person wasn't psychologically categorized as available. Maybe one of them was in a relationship. Maybe they both were. Maybe there was simply no reason to examine the friendship romantically, right? That's plausible. But there's another possibility. The feelings actually weren't there. People change. Preferences change. Relational needs change. Experience changes what we find attractive. There are things I valued in a man at 25, baby, that let me tell you at 38, that same type of man could never. You understand? And there are qualities I may not have appreciated enough then that I understand completely different as a grown-ass woman. Okay? Peace becomes attractive first and foremost. Reliability becomes attractive. Protection becomes attractive. Emotional intelligence becomes attractive, right? Somebody being capable of hearing you without becoming defensive is highly attractive. Someone who presence doesn't require a performance based on whatever the case may be. That is attractive. And if my needs change while somebody I already know is also evolving, I can begin perceiving that person differently without having lied about how I previously perceived them. That is where we go wrong. We are allowed to grow, right? We are allowed to grow. Now, if it's a situation where you guys have been messing around, you know, what they call it, sneaky links and all of that stuff, that's one thing. But if it was a genuine friendship and there's never been any motives, no flirting, no anything, it's harmless, right? Then that's something completely different. It's not premeditated. There is no motives. There is no hidden agendas, right? It just happens. And naturally, because they are your friend, obviously you care about them to some capacity already, right? So it's not as if you don't have a friendship. Now, I will be careful using the word platonic. I'm very careful when I say platonic friendships because platonic still is a sense of intimacy. It's just not physical, right? So when people go around saying, I have a platonic friendship with this guy or a platonic friendship with that woman, to me, ultimately, there is, you know, an understanding, like what's understood don't need to be said. There's something there, right? But you guys just won't admit it. And in psychology, we sometimes talk about the relational schemas. Basically, the mental frameworks we use to understand relationships and what we expect from different people. So think of it this way. Your mind has already created a file for somebody. You've already friend zoned them. Hey, that's my friend, right? I'm good for that. And I have to. Let me be clear, because I am a woman who is in a male-dominated industry, right? I have to automatically friend zone people, not because I'm attracted to them, but because, hey, A, I have 8 brothers, right? Really 10. I grew up around boys, right? Obviously, I was a tomboy. And I work in a male-dominated industry. So being around men that look good, smell good, God, that's nothing. That's the norm, right? That is the norm. So ultimately, it goes back to categorizing people. Hey, this is my friend. This is my coworker. This is my BFF. This is my sister. Either way, you are putting them in some type of filing system, right? So behavior gets interpreted through the friendship file. They compliment you. Oh, that's just my friend. They check on you. Girl, that's just my friend. They invite you to lunch. Girl, that's just my friend. There's no romantic meaning attached because that isn't the framework you are using. But human relationships sometimes produce new information. So maybe one conversation becomes more emotionally intimate. Maybe you both are in different stages of your life. Maybe one person says something that changes the other person's awareness. And maybe circumstances cause you to look at a familiar person outside of the familiar framework. And suddenly, what happens? That's my friend, and I'm attracted to this person coexist. That's what make it disorienting, right? Because nothing necessarily happens externally first. Sometimes your internal interpretation changed. And now your mind has to reconcile two truths. This person may indeed be my friend, but at the same time, I desire this person, right? I desire this person. So what do people often do? I am guilty of this. They try to eliminate one because we believe that both cannot exist. And let me be clear, that is a defense mechanism, but a healthy defense mechanism. Because you have to be able to understand that everything that you like or feel is not meant to be pursued. Just because you know something is there, just because you know it's real, just because you can see the potential and you understand that, hey, if we team up, oh, baby, it's going down. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to pursue it. That's where the logic over emotions come in at, right? It's difficult. It's difficult to admit to yourself that you are attracted to somebody that you have considered as your friends for so many years, because now you're starting to question yourself. Hold on. Was I feeling this the whole time? And was I lying to myself? Skip lying to other people because it ain't nobody's business. Have I been lying to myself? Have I been telling myself whatever it is that I need to in order to, you know, mask what I'm genuinely feeling, right? You try to eliminate one. No, we are just friends, or we must have secretly always wanted each other. But maybe neither extreme is accurate. Maybe adulthood requires being capable of saying the relationship was one thing. Now I am experiencing something additional. I don't even know what that means yet. That's a much more emotionally intelligent position. But now I am going to challenge the romantic interpretation, because something feeling real doesn't automatically tell you why it feels real. Suppose somebody is leaving a relationship, right? They are open, meaning like they are vulnerable. Maybe they were responsible for some damage. Maybe they were hurt too. Maybe they still love their former partner, or maybe they are grieving. And then they spend time with a longtime friend. There is tremendous psychological comfort during transition when you are with somebody that you are familiar with. This person already understands you. This person, there is no explaining who you are or your personality, right? There is no starting over from scratch. And obviously, there are things that you guys will have to relearn about each other because, again, you are meant to grow daily, right? They've already demonstrated loyalty, and that emotional safety can become incredibly powerful when the rest of your emotional life feels unstable. Oftentimes, when friends end up in relationships, it's because somebody was lacking in something or somebody was going through something, and they ended up connecting at a time where they both needed each other in ways that they didn't understand. And I can't say whether or not that's right or wrong, right? Because the heart wants what the heart wants. But at the same time, we still have to be logical. You have to be logical, and you have to be able to sit down and have a conversation about it. And this is where two adults have to ask themselves a very sophisticated question. Has the friend become romantically significant, or has the friend become emotionally regulating? Those aren't necessarily the same thing. Sometimes the safest person in the room can become the most attractive person in that room because your nervous system is exhausted. That doesn't make the attraction fake, but it does mean you should stop, think, and examine it before building a relationship around it. After the break, we are adding the person nobody wants to talk about, the ex, because here is where it gets ethically complicated. If two long-time friends eventually become romantic shortly after one person's relationship ends, people are going to rewrite the history. Let's talk about it, Milwaukee. 833-212-1017. I want to hear from you. With your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. Got in mind tonight. Got me feeling like you to see, girl. I can't leave you alone. Take a shot of this here Patron, and it's going to be on. VIP then got way too crowded. 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we are talking about friendships and relationships. Please make sure that you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth, and follow me on social media, The Jazzy Effect. That's THEJAZZIEEFFECT. Shout out to the chat. Marie says, it's hard to gain a true friend without deception and secrets, so be careful. No coming back from crossing the line. It is not worth it. Trying to be in a relationship with someone that knows all your secrets is a big risk. I'm good on that. Discipline is a gift worth having. And one night of passion can leave you with a lifetime of pain, baby. You better believe it. However, it doesn't always have to end that way, right? This is where I think we need emotional maturity on all sides. So we are going to talk about the ex, if the ex has a right to hear feelings, to their feelings, and not their version of the facts, right? Suppose two people have been, again, we're talking about friends. You've been friends for quite some times. Nothing sexual happened. Nothing romantic happened. No boundaries were crossed while one of them was in a relationship or while both of them were in a relationship, and then that relationship ends. And later on, the friendship develops into something else. Now, imagine if you were the ex, and we're going to be grown here. No pettiness. This is serious because people are truly dealing with this. And I'm probably questioning everything. If I was the ex, I'm looking backward. Again, I'm thinking about stuff from 2 or 3 years ago, right? The way you looked, how you said the name, how you said her name, how you, described her when her name pops up on your phone, what's your reaction? I'm literally going through everything all over in my mind, right? Because the present has now changed my interpretation of the past, and that emotional reaction makes complete sense to me. And I think sometimes the new couple can become so defensive about proving they did nothing wrong that they become insensitive to how painful the optics are. You don't have to be guilty to understand someone else's pain. That's important. You can say, hey, nothing happened between us. And I understand why you seeing us together now would hurt, right? But compassion is not a confession. And that's where the line matters. I am not going to admit to betrayal that didn't happen simply because the eventual outcome resembles the thing that you were afraid of. We cannot prosecute the past using evidence that only exists in the present. That's not fair. That's not fair to that person, and that's not fair to you. If the friendship was appropriate during the relationship, that's all that matters. If no boundaries were crossed, no one was disrespected, and the attraction developed afterwards, that's all that matters. Now, if there was some type of emotional cheating, that's a different conversation. If there was some flirtation, that's a different conversation. If somebody was keeping that friend around purposely because they wanted to wait until they got their shot, that's a different type of conversation. And you have to own that, right? But sometimes a person really was just your friend and later they weren't. Human relationships can be complicated without being dishonest. And this raises the question, I think, is much harder than whether the ex will be upset or not. What moral responsibility do we have to people after our romantic relationship with them ends? Not legal responsibility, not emotional responsibility, right? So let's say you hurt somebody. Let's say you cheated in your previous relationship or they cheated on you. Now the guilt enters the equation. You may sincerely still love that person you hurt, and you may recognize that what you did made them feel away, right? And somehow it seems like moving forward, you're still doing them wrong, right? It can feel like, how can I be happy knowing that I did this person that way, even though those two situations are not connected whatsoever. But does accountability require self-denial? That's where I think guilt and responsibility can become confused, right? Healthy guilt says, I did something wrong. I need to learn from it, repair what can be repaired, and change my behavior so that the next person I'm with does not have to experience what I just put my ex through. Unhealthy guilt can become, because I did something wrong, I am no longer entitled to what is meant for me. And those aren't the same statements, right? Those are not the same statements. And again, it gets very sticky and very tricky, because oftentimes when situations like this happen, and apparently it happens more often than normal, but when situations like this happens, there's a lack of emotional maturity. There's always emotion over logic instead of logic over emotion. First and foremost, we understand that anytime you are cheating on your spouse, especially if it's with a friend, you're dead wrong, period, point blank, right? Then there's the people who say we can't help who we love. Absolutely. But you can choose whether or not if you want to entertain it. And I think the most healthiest thing to do is to have conversations. Everybody is not ready for conversations. Can you imagine? Like, I'm going to be transparent. I grew up a little different. My daddy was the man and my mama was that girl. So much to the point that I've seen my mama work with her baby daddy wife, okay? I've seen her talk to my dad, other baby mamas, and no issues. And they old school, so yes, things are. They all was working in the bar together. They wasn't messing with them at the same time, but no one cared because we're all adults, right? We're all adults. There has to be conversations. When you remove the emotional side of things, and you begin to have logical conversations, then you begin to accept someone as a human being, first and foremost. Secondly, you also understand that we don't own anybody, baby, especially if we are not married. You don't own the rights to nobody. You can only experience them. You don't come here in the world with nobody unless you're a twin, and you don't leave with nobody. You are only experiencing them. And one of the issues that we face in relationships overall is that we expect for people to be the way that we want them to be instead of respecting them as an individual human being, right? We are two individuals. You have your own individual life. I have my own individual life. The only thing we can do that is healthy is to merge those lives together and figure out how to navigate through this thing called life. That's it. It doesn't owe explanations, requirements, or anything. And if you are a spiritual person, then you most definitely know how it works in that realm as well. But first, we have to remove the feelings. And I'm not just talking about having a conversation with the ex. No, have a conversation with your friend. Be like y'all friends, right? Y'all should be able to talk about anything. If you notice that the feelings are changing, whether you are in a relationship or not, hey, can we talk about this? Can we talk through this so that we both can make the best decision for both of us? Because A, you don't want to ruin the friendship just based off of emotions, right? Again, when you know somebody and you know what type of person they are, it's so easy to be delulu. It's so easy to be delusional because you begin to create scenarios of the future in your head of how good y'all will look together, or this personality, his personality matches mine, or she understands what I've been through. She's been there for me at times when nobody else was, so on and so on. All of those are great, but all of those are emotions. Remove the emotions and take a look at everything from a logical stance. Who does this affect and how does it affect them, right? What comes with this? If we decide to make that decision, what comes with it? What's all attached to it, right? And let's be clear. You know your friend better than anybody. So if your friend is a dog, why you think just because y'all friends that they not going to be a dog to you? If you know that she was around here, you know, cheating on her ex, what makes you think that she's not going to cheat on you? If she didn't bust at his windows, why would you think? So on and so on. And I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm just saying that's the purpose of having a conversation. Because A, you don't want to destroy the friendship. But B, you want to be true about what it is that's happening. And in the perfect world, you will be able to have a conversation with your ex too. Hey, I wasn't expecting this. Stuff just happens, right? You know him. He's a great person. You've seen him a couple times. Y'all chopped it up a couple times. He's not a bad person. So deep down, you will see why I will want him too. But the emotional side of you won't allow you to admit that because you're still holding on to something that does not exist. We got to go to break. Coming back, this may be the most important part of today's conversation. If you hurt your former partner, do you owe that person your future? And if you don't, how do you move forward without behaving as though what happened to them doesn't matter? Then I want to talk about something else adults rarely admit. Sometimes we call something bad timing. Well, what we are actually experiencing is fear. That's next. 1017 The Truth. The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth for almost 100 years. They've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you are building every single day. If you are a part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SIN. Its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Milwaukee, happy hump day. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You have officially been tapped in, and we are talking about when friendships turns into relationships. I want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. Shout out to the chat. Maddie says, keep them exes in the rear view. It's not going to last. Stop giving energy to people that is not worth it. They think they own you big time. And Netflix and chill hits different. Don't it? Ain't no chilling going on with Netflix, though. Huh, Maddie? In all seriousness, this next segment, you can honor an ex without remaining emotionally married to them, right? So I think there is a distinction between honoring somebody and remaining emotionally governed by them. A former relationship can matter deeply. A person can still matter to you and you can still love them. And I think that's where people get confused because we treat love like evidence that two people should remain together. It isn't always. Sometimes love survives compatibility. Sometimes love survives trust. Sometimes it survives the relationship itself. You can love somebody and know that the relationship the two of you created is unhealthy. That's one of the most painful realities of adulthood. So if someone says, hey, I still love my ex, my immediate response isn't, then you should go back. That is petty. And that is so immature. But my question would be, what does love require? Does it require reconciliation, accountability, forgiveness, distance, right? Relationship is a decision. At the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you. And when you are in situations, again, doesn't matter how long you've been together. It could be a month and it doesn't work. It could be 5 years and it doesn't work. I think the healthiest approach to this is understanding that we all are human beings, right? People like to say, and I'm one of those people, but I stand on it. People like to say, my love has no limits. I love unconditionally. There is no conditions with my love, right? But that is false, majority of the time. Because as soon as a situation arises that you know is going to be painful, you do place restrictions and boundaries on that love, right? You place expectations on that love. If someone that you love does something to you, now a lot of times, whether it's a man or a woman, they want you to prove before getting back with them why you love them and that it won't happen again, right? Instead of sitting down having a realistic conversation about what has actually transpired. I'm not saying you got to take them back if something happened, if y'all decided it wasn't working, not just because of cheating, but because of whatever reasons, right? Maybe you guys just weren't compatible. But sitting down having an honest conversation about it, if that's really your friend, should help, right? It should help. It works. Be an adult, be mature enough to say, hey, this is where I went wrong. I don't know why I did it, or this is why I did it, right? And yes, I still have feelings for you. Yes, I still love you. And either I'm okay with seeing if we can rekindle it, or I am no longer exploring that as an option. I think it's time that we, you know, go our separate ways. Now, what gets even trickier is, depending on how mature you are, if you are in a situation, this is messy. This sounds like a reality show, Brother Z. I don't know, man. If you are in a situation where, let's say, you are attracted to someone who has been your friend and there is no evidence, there is no, you know, history of you guys interacting, being intimate, flirting, or anything like that, and you guys give it a shot, are you okay with that person remaining friends with their ex whom they just broke up with? Talk about, what did Jada say? An entanglement, right? And there's another thing I think grown people, adults, should be capable of doing. We should be able to move towards something new without turning the old person into a villain. And for some reason, we love to do this to make ourselves feel better. So when the relationship ends, a new relationship begins, and suddenly you just get the bash in your ex, right? They were horrible. She didn't cook or clean, or, you know, he ain't putting it down how he should be. But what happened all those years y'all was together? You wasn't saying that. Don't do that. It's not required, and it's not needed, and it's immature, right? Maybe somebody did make some serious mistakes, and maybe there was real love and real dysfunction. Why does the new person need the old relationship to have been meaningless, right? I actually, you know, if I'm in a situation like that where a guy is bashing his ex, that's a red flag for me. That is a red flag. A, because I'm not here to talk about your past relationships unless you're asking my opinion or advice on a specific situation, right? But in the event the conversation does come up and a man says, hey, that person mattered to me. That relationship taught me something. I hurt them in ways I regret. They hurt me in ways that I had to heal, and we still may not belong together. I respect that, because at least you're honest, right? And you're not playing the blame game and utilizing it as self-defense or a defense mechanism. Oftentimes, we always paint the villain of our exes because we feel like it's going to make the situation better, and it doesn't. Then separately, something different may be developing with somebody else. Those truths can sit in the same room without fighting each other. It is okay for you not to hate your ex while finding new love. It is okay to acknowledge that, hey, this may not work and I love this person dearly, right? But I found somebody else, right? That is okay. What's not okay is when you are not real with all parties about it, right? Or if you know that it's something that is going to linger on and cause conflicts and confusion and you say nothing, then you are wrong. Then you are wrong. But at the end of the day, you don't owe nobody nothing unless y'all married. You don't owe nobody any explanation, anything like that. I mean, you can do it because you're a kind person, but you cannot allow past situations to dictate your future unless you are still involved in those past conversations. Situations. The question for the person who is hesitating, this is where it gets interesting. So if you are the person who recognizes feelings for a longtime friend, but you are hesitating because your previous relationship is emotionally unresolved, I don't think anybody should tell you to forget about your ex. That is irresponsible. But I do think you owe yourself an honest examination. Why is the hesitation there? What is it protecting? Is it protecting your healing? That's good. Is it protecting your former partner's dignity? That's good as well. Is it protecting the friendship from rebound behavior? Ding, ding, ding. That's very important. Or is the hesitation protecting you from having to become vulnerable once again, right? Those can sound similar. I don't want to hurt nobody. Maybe you don't. But sometimes what's embedded in that sentence is, and I don't want to risk being hurt either. That's the piece that we don't always want to admit. We don't always want to admit. But all of this and the point of this conversation is for you to analyze yourself. We talked about it earlier this week, the method of pause, not the pause that you guys hear on social media, but actually pausing, stopping, identifying what you are feeling, accept what you are feeling, and finding the best solution possible instead of solely operating out of emotion. And you can apply this method to any point of your life. But I think oftentimes when we look at situations like DV situations or women acting a fool or men acting a fool because they refuse to let someone who has already let them go or who has done things to show them that they want to let them go, they miss out on communication. They miss out on being real with each other and about the situation because everybody is so caught up in what has happened and what is about to happen. Instead of sitting down, understanding that we all are human beings, we all make mistakes, we all have are our own individual selves. And most importantly, let them. You can't control somebody. You don't know what God has for somebody else. Some of y'all be standing in the way of other people's karma or your own karma, right? Sometimes we think that if we get into certain situations that there may be some type of backlash. Well, sometimes if you don't get in that situation, there's going to be backlash. It just depends on how you view it and whatever your God tells you. At six, I want to talk about what happens after both friends know, because now the relationship has changed. You may decide not to date. You may decide not to have intimacy. You may decide not to pursue anything. But can two adults genuinely return to psychological innocence after they've already faced each other and admitted, yes, I feel it too? Let's talk about it when we come back at the 6 o'clock hour. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth.